This journal entry is to address some ideas I have around the subject of surrounding the understanding of life via psychology versus a much simpler biblical approach. There's a few people in my life who have challenged me to really think fervently on my position in this. And my position is that, for the most part, a constant thirsting after knowledge and worldly wisdom and excess human psychology are all things that distract away from God. Thus, they could be seen as an evil. And I read in a book recently where there are so many things in our life right now that appear to be harmless. They literally even maybe have a sense of being good, that are in their very nature evil because of who has helped to perpetuate either the idea or the thing, meaning the devil. So I have this deep conviction that says life is much simpler than we'd like to make it. The other argument on the other side of the table is that life is far too complicated to be able to simply throw a Bible at every problem. And so this is a good argument to have. My position is this, and my experience is becoming more and more this, and is validating this. And to be very critical on myself, the first thing I would want to say is okay, on both sides of this equation, where is the fruit? Because the Bible says, you shall know a tree by its fruit. A good tree bears good fruit, a bad tree bears bad fruit. And I'm beginning to see some things in me. I am making changes in my life, and my beliefs are changing such that only by the Spirit of God would it be possible. Not out of my own Michael Criswell self, as nice of a person as I'd like to think I am, as decently intelligent as I may seem, these radical changes that are occurring in my life are not occurring as a result of anything other than the power and the Spirit of God in His simple message. So, there is this psychological approach to life that I was stuck in for a long time that basically puts people in a position to want to understand, study, and measure everything behind all the various human behaviors. What was somebody's motivation for doing that? What was the root or the cause of doing that? And so psychology is kind of this whole study of human thinking. And there's a lot of people that believe it's a good thing. This is very, very difficult to say. This is coming hard on the ears of many people that disagree with me. I believe it gets in the way of God. I believe it says this to God: you and your word are not enough. And therefore, the human's quest, the unquenchable quest for answers and meaning in life, continues. And so we come up with these labels, all of these different things that we want to study because we have this unquenchable thirst for knowledge. We don't desire God. We desire knowledge, answers to our problems, and how do we make ourselves comfortable. That's really what we desire at our core, if you're being very honest with yourself. And so psychology is kind of this neat little thing tucked over here on the side that seems to be completely harmless and makes a lot of sense, and it tickles the ears of its hearers. And, oh, that makes sense. Okay, so I'm motivated by this. Anger is a really secondary emotion, because really what's underneath of that is fear and what I can do to... It's just all this weird stuff. And in the end, I say, okay, how does that make me look more like Jesus Christ? How does that help me to turn the other cheek? How does that help me to love my brother to the point sacrificially that I'd be willing to die for him? How does that help me do good to my enemies? How do those things benefit Christ? Okay, so again, going back to why He made us for His purposes, He wants us by the power of the Holy Spirit to look more like Jesus Christ, such that other people come to Him, that the kingdom grows and becomes fruitful. We see scriptures that, you know, somebody would say, well, God doesn't expect us to be dumb. He expects us to use our minds and use our knowledge. Yeah, this is the same God who says, unless you become like one of these children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. It's the same God who says, who Jesus said, I praise you, Father, for you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and given them to babes. That is a direct contradiction of the idea that God wants us to acquire more and more knowledge and be so heady and mindful. So you can argue against that, or you can look at Scripture and believe Scripture. God is not asking us to become smart. God is asking us to become obedient, simple, faith-based children. And I really believe, this is, again, not a message hardly anybody wants to hear. You can spend all kinds of time and energy trying to understand human emotions, human psychology, and understand all these things. And in the end, I ask you, it may help you to become better in one little area of your life, or it may help you find some improvement or some relief or something temporary, meaning-wise. But how in the end does that study, does that craft, or does that, whatever we want to call it, philosophy, because I think psychology is a philosophy. It says that man is the master of his own destiny. And if you just figure out how the heck you're motivated, you can change your motivation, overcome your obstacles, and achieve your necessary desired outcome. So how is psychology in and of itself not a false god or a false religion? This just comes to me while I'm, you know, walking through the woods. This is not something I've thought through, but it really does appear to me that it could be that for many people. At the end, I say to myself, okay, when I look at the fruit that is really beginning to occur in my life, it is not occurring as a result of something I learned at a seminar. It is not occurring as a result of something I've learned from a psychology book or even a psychology principle. The fruit that I'm beginning to see and desire in my life more of is resulting from simple, childlike faith in the Scriptures. It is resulting from me saying, oh God in heaven, your word is all that it says it is. As in the Psalms it says, I love your precepts. They are my counselors. Meaning it is God's word that counsels us. And so here I am beginning to really, really say, okay, are we fooling ourselves? Is it possible that we are deceived and that we are continuing to search for more and more and more information and more knowledge about how the brain works, how human psychology works, and all the while we are getting further and further away from the very simple thing God asked us to do? Trust and obey. I really believe, again, the success I'm beginning to experience, if that's what somebody must call it, because I believe I am a lot more successful as a Christian today, having been humbled and lost everything, than I was back when I had $250,000 in my checking account and a big fancy swimming pool and a $900,000 house and all that stuff, and was very active in my church and my home groups, and it all looked great. You'd think, wow, God is surely rewarding this guy. The devil was rewarding me. He was blessing me, not God. And God allowed it, but I was a heavily distracted, heavily deceived young man. And I'll tell you something, I did not get from that person to this person by the help of psychology. I have gotten here by humility and brokenness before the Lord, admitting that I am a worm, admitting that I am a sinner, that my problem is not some psychological issue. My problem is that I am a sinner. My problem is not that I had two fathers and I found out one was not my real dad when I was 21. My problem is not that I was sexually abused. My problem is not that my best friend committed suicide when I was in high school, or that both step-parents were drug alcoholics and that I experienced emotional abuse. Those are not my problems. My problem is that I am a sinner. My problem is not needing healing. My problem is needing restoration to God, because He is the source of all healing. He is the source of all life. I do not need more and more counseling. I do not need more and more focus on me. In fact, what God is telling me is that this path of introspective reflection can easily, in and of itself, even if it's around the subject of Christianity, it can easily itself become detrimental to the growth of a Christian, because again, it's putting the focus back on what God tells us not to focus on. No one should seek his own good, but the good of others. No man has greater love than this, than the one who lays down his life for his friend. This attitude should be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the very form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but instead took on the very nature of a bondservant and gave his life in obedience up to death, even death on a cross. I mean, I tell you the truth, any man that does not pick up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. Any man that loves his mother, father, brother, sister, or child more than me cannot become a follower of me, is not worthy of me. This is a really different approach to life. This is so totally different than to get yourself healed, get yourself fixed, focus on you, get your life to work, and then maybe you might have some overflow to give somebody else one of these days. This is no. Go ahead. Forgive those who have hurt you. Ask to be forgiven of your own sin. Receive the fullness of God's grace, His love, His mercy, and begin to simply trust Him and obey Him in childlike faith and childlike expectations. What should we expect more of God than for Him to bless us with His presence and the gift of eternal life that comes upon death through salvation in Jesus Christ? What more do we need? We get to live forever. And we spend all of our time on this little chicken scratch part of our life being consumed with how to make it work and how to be comfortable. We are deceived.